Good morning. My name's Katie Flynn, and I'm a member here, and I'd like to welcome everyone here this morning. If you're visiting us and you want some more information about our church, you can find one of these pamphlets at the back of the church, and it'll tell you a little bit more about what we have to offer for you. If you're looking at your bulletin, you'll find these lavender slips, and that's just for two purposes. One is for attendance, just so we know you're here and we can greet you. And then also, if you have a prayer request, you'll find a spot on the slip where you can write in your prayer, and we'll share them with the congregation later on in the service, and we'll let you know when you can pass them to the ushers. Let's see, we have several announcements this morning. You can see them all in your bulletin, but I'd like to call your attention to a few special ones. First, we'd really like to thank Janet and Ginny for organizing the celebration last week for Martha's last Sunday. It was a really good time, great food, and we thank you for organizing that. Okay. Our next book study is going to start this coming Friday. There's a sign-up sheet at the door out the door to my left, and the book is called America's Original Sin. You've also got a flyer on that in your bulletin. Oh, Jeff's got one right there, so that's what the book looks like. As you know, there's a lot of need for flood buckets down south, and so the children will be filling those during Sunday school on the 1st. If you're interested in contributing to that cause, you can donate $65 for one bucket, or you can bring what needs to go in the bucket. There's a list in your bulletin, and you can find that right in there. There's a short meeting next Sunday after church for greeters and ushers. We're always looking for more people to volunteer for that. So if you're interested, just show up next Sunday and let Ed know that you want to do that. There's a guest choir director this morning, Amy DeBurgess. So we're really excited to hear the choir this morning, and we thank you, Amy. There's also a potluck luncheon this afternoon right after church, and following the luncheon, we'll have a congregational conversation about our bylaws and also the proposal about a sanctuary resolution. So you can join us after church and hear more about that. Also, I have an announcement about the handbell choir. We started this past Monday, but we're always looking for new members. So if you want to join, come on over. Our next rehearsal is going to be Monday the 25th at 7 o'clock downstairs. So if anybody's inclined to try it out, come on over. It's a good time, and you don't need a lot of experience. So come on over. And I think that's it. So let us continue our time of worship.
Good morning, everyone. I forgot to take off my keys, so I have big jewelry on today, I just realized. Welcome. I'm so glad to see all of you. I'm honored to say that I'm the pastor here. I'm Pastor Alicia Wood, and I would like to extend a warm welcome to all of you. Our worship series theme is Stained Glass. I love to tell this story. We are surrounded in this space by the stories of Jesus as told through our stained glass windows. The windows have been telling this story since 1921, when the sanctuary, rebuilt after being destroyed by fire, was dedicated. Each of the eight sets of windows along the side of the sanctuary depict a period of Jesus' life and ministry. And the window behind the organ displays his ascension into heaven at the end of his earthly ministry. As we reflect each week on one set of windows, we are beginning to get an idea as we think about situations we find ourselves in each day. And we can ask, what would Jesus do? And that's why we have our WWJD up front. What would Jesus do? Today, we are talking about our seventh window. So we have done 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and we are on 7 over here. This week's window tells us the difficult story of Jesus' betrayal, arrest, and trial, leading up to his crucifixion. In the left window, Judas leads the Roman soldiers to Jesus as he prays in the Garden of Gethsemane. In the center windows, these soldiers arrest Jesus and drag him to trial before Pontius Pilate. While Pilate did not find him guilty, the crowd, incited by those seeking to maintain the status quo, demanded that Jesus be put to death. In the right window, Jesus is stripped, beaten, and wearing a crown of thorns as the crucifixion looms before him. How could the crowd that was shouting Hosanna just a few days before turn so quickly? Why was Jesus' message of love, compassion, and inclusion so frightening to the establishment? Are we willing to continue to give voice to his message? Will you and I stand with those under attack in our society today? And we can ask ourselves once again, what would Jesus do? So please remain seated and sing our theme song, Tell Me the Stories of Jesus. And we're singing, I think, the third verse today.
Into the city I'd follow the children's band, waving a branch of the palm tree high in my hand. One of his heralds, yes, I would sing, loudest hosannas, Jesus is King.
Good morning and welcome. My name is Dale Fryer, or to my preschool children, I'm Mr. Dale, but you can call me Dale. I'll be your liturgist this morning, and I'd like you to join me if you are able in standing and singing the first hymn. Excuse me, the call to worship. Please stand. In the midst of an imperfect world, Jesus calls us into life. In the midst of our work and play and rest, Jesus calls us into prayer. In the midst of our everyday lives, Jesus calls us to follow him. We come searching for the one who is already here. Let us worship the God who calls us. Please remain standing and join me now in the first hymn, Lord, Is It I? The one to blame. Let us now greet one another, old friends and friends to be, by shaking hands or maybe a fist bump. Say good morning or peace be with you. I invite you to share the peace of Christ with your neighbors.
Will the children please join me, and any of the teachers please join me up front.
Good morning.
Let's sing them in.
All right, bud, got to work. But there's no one. There's no one, there's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him. There's no one like Jesus. There's no one like Him.
This morning, hello everybody. Hello. Whoops. Hello. This morning we have something special to do. What started today at 9:30 a.m.? What happened today at 9:30 a.m.? Yes?
Sunday
school started. Yes. So what I would like to do is have our teachers come forward, because you know what our important job is today? We are going to pray for our teachers. And we're going to, you know, sometimes our teachers come up when we're baptized or when we have confirmation, and they lay hands on us as we come on up here, as we pray. And so I thought it'd be nice for all of you to lay hands on your teachers as they come on forward, as they are here to guide you and guide us. So come on over, come on over. So some of the children can stay seated, and actually you could maybe, if the teachers go back, Some students can stand behind you and maybe lay hands, and then other students like Jacob and Sandy, come on down and we'll lay hands in the front here, okay? So we have some behind and some in front. And so, are we good? All right. Do you know what I mean by laying of hands? It means that you're going to touch them on their shoulder, or you could touch them on their head. Okay? All right. So come on over, guys. You guys behind, come on over. You're going to be in front. All right. Dear friends, let us recognize those who have responded to the call of God to become workers in the church, to teach and support the work of teaching our ministries of Christ among us. Those called to these ministries need our loyal support and our prayers. So let's lay a hand on their shoulder. You can put your hand on their shoulder. You can hold hands. If you're not comfortable, that's okay too. Will you pray with me, everyone? Eternal God, you have entrusted us with the message of your grace, justice, and love. Believing that you are in our midst, we set apart those who would serve in our church school. Bless each one gathered before us, enabling them to be channels of your grace. Amen. Amen. And so everyone here present, let's support our teachers by saying, we pledge to pray for you and for the educational ministry of this congregation. And so, teachers know that you have your students with you, and you have the congregation with you, praying for you, so that this can be a really awesome year, okay? Do you feel the support, teachers? Awesome, good. And students, thank you so much for sharing in this tradition and laying of hands and praying for our teachers. And let's go back to whoever brought us, and we're going to listen to the choir's beautiful anthem.
Let us join together now in a time of prayer, continued time of prayer, as we pray silently, followed by a short spoken prayer, and then the Lord's Prayer. And I invite you to share that Lord's Prayer in whatever way or language that you feel closest to God. Loving Creator, you sent your Son, Jesus, to share the message of love, compassion, and inclusion to the world. What a precious gift. And lest I forget, you also created me with those same loving hands of yours, being careful to give me the power of choice. Another precious gift, Lord. O loving Creator, this powerful choice to choose Jesus' way, the way of love, compassion, and inclusion, is sometimes fearful, sometimes difficult. It is in those times that the temptation to misuse that power of choice is greatest. And when I go that way, I hurt others, plain and simple. Today I pray to have the faith to choose Jesus' way. Please join me now in the Lord's Prayer. Mother, Father, God, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. And now I invite you to stand as you are able or comfortable and join me in singing Are Ye Able? Number 530 in the blue hymnal and displayed on the screen.
Are ye able, said the Master, to be crucified with me? Yea, the very dreamers answered, to the death we follow thee. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like thee, divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Are ye able to remember when a thief lifts up his eyes, that his pardoned soul is worthy of a place in paradise? Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine. Remold them, make us like thee, divine. Thy guiding radiance above us shall be a beacon to God, to love and loyalty. Are ye able still, the Master whispers down eternity, and heroic spirits answer now and then in Galilee. Lord, we are able, our spirits are thine.
Please be seated. Our scripture this morning relates to the raucous scene at Jesus' trial. I'll be reading verses 13 through 25 from the 23rd chapter of Luke as translated in the Common English Bible. Then Pilate called together the chief priests, the rulers, and the people. He said to them, "You brought this man before me as one who was misleading the people. I have questioned him in your presence and found nothing in this man's conduct that provides a legal basis for the charges you have brought against him. Neither did Herod, because Herod returned him to us. He's done nothing that deserves death. Therefore, I'll have him whipped and let him go." But with one voice, they shouted, "Away with this man! Release Barabbas to us!" Barabbas had been thrown into prison because of a riot that had occurred in the city and for murder. Pilate addressed them again because he wanted to release Jesus. They kept shouting, "Crucify him! Crucify him!" For the third time, Pilate said to them, "Why? What wrong has he done? I found no legal basis for the death penalty in this case. Therefore, I will have him whipped and let him go." But they were adamant, shouting their demand that Jesus be crucified. Their voices won out. Pilate issued his decision to grant their request. He released the one they asked for, who had been thrown into prison because of a riot and murder. But he handed Jesus over to their will. This morning, Ted Findlayson Schuller will also share a contemporary reading entitled Peter by Carol Penner. This poem reflects on the event of Jesus' arrest from the perspective of the disciple Peter. Jesus had told Peter that Peter would deny him three times before the cock crowed to announce the morning.
There won't be any words on the screen, so just take this in whatever way is most comfortable for you. My first thought was, "It's not going to be me." Jesus, in a voice barely audible, told us we would all become deserters. When I protested, he looked at me and singled me out and said that I would deny him too. After everything we'd gone together, after all I'd left behind these 3 years of ministry, how could he doubt me? Was I not the one who stepped out of the boat, waves raging, my one thought to be at his side? With all my heart, I told him what I knew to be true, that he was the Christ, the Son of the living God. Me desert him? Never. Then and there I vowed, I will not leave this man. I am going to stick with Jesus whatever the cost. Prison, death, nothing will stop me. And I am a man of my word. We heard the soldiers coming, but Jesus didn't move. He only waited, and then the betrayer was at hand. Judas armed only with a kiss. When they went to seize our Lord, I drew my sword to defend him. But Jesus refused my protection. No one else came to prepare to fight, meager as that was. I would have died fighting his side, but he would not have it. I don't know where the other disciples went, but I never lost sight of Jesus. I was there with him, walking in the shadows. I can hardly say what I was expecting. Moses or Elijah? A voice from heaven? A storm from him whom the winds obeyed. Bonds broken in pieces like bread on a hillside. Something, anything to end that unthinkable captivity. Instead, there was only a quiet night. The clink of chains, the darkness broken by fires. I could see him with the soldiers. I went as close as I could. cautious, as I knew I was out of place. And sure enough, that girl picked me out of the crowd. She would have had me thrown out of the courtyard, but I was determined to stay close to Jesus. I said anything to keep my vow to not leave his side. If I admitted I knew him, they would send me away. 3 times I was challenged, and at the 3rd time I turned and looked at Jesus, saying with my eyes, "I am still here. I won't leave you." He lifts his head and his gaze locks on mine, even as that crazy cry of a rooster announces the dawn. The sound recalls the words that I would deny him 3 times. "But I am still here. I have not left your side. I will not desert you." His eyes reach inside me like the shock of a desert dawn. I had missed something essential. I had paid too dearly for the sight of him. I stumbled from that place, stung with the terrible choice of being with or being true. I left his side, wildly weeping for a lost Savior. I could not save him with my presence, even with a truer word spoken. This is the word of God for the people of God.
Good morning. Our text from Luke this morning is generally read during Holy Week. It's kind of interesting and fun to dive into it on a September Sunday morning. It can be found in each of the 4 Gospels, but it's written a little differently in each of the 4. In Matthew, Jesus' trial is found on chapter 27, Mark in chapter 15, and in John, it is at the end of 18 and runs into chapter 19. Today, we will look at the scripture in Luke and then reflect on how it might influence us today. As we look at our text, we may ask, why did a Roman official, Pilate, listen to the crowd in releasing Barabbas and sentencing Jesus to death? Rome was not usually that kind or open to the whims of its citizens. One scholar from Boston College notes, Jesus did have a smart alecky answer when Pilate asked him, "Are you king of the Jews?" Jesus replied, "You say so." Was this why Pilate was so easily listening to the crowd and so ready to sentence Jesus to death? Yet some theologians say this was just all part of the plan. In the book of Matthew, the text says that Pilate washed his hands of Jesus' death. This does not say Pilate believed anything special about Jesus, but that he had a conscience in sentencing an innocent man to death. We must ask ourselves, why did the crowds change their feelings for Jesus? Maybe we should look at who was in the crowd. We are not sure of the size or makeup of the crowd. We do know that there were chief priests and scribes, leaders, and crowds or people present. We do know out of this group of people, they yelled, "Crucify him!" Was it one person who started yelling and then the others chimed in? Was there muttering within the crowd by the leaders who were planted to change the mood of the crowd? Was the crowd not as big as portrayed in paintings or in Jesus Christ Superstar? Were people in antiquity looking for some entertainment which came in the form of violence? Big stadiums were erected in antiquity for gladiators or beasts to fight it out while crowds cheered. In the end, our scripture tells us that the crowd, whoever was present, however big or small, whether they were a part of the crowd of Jesus, part of the crowd as Jesus entered Jerusalem or listened to a sermon on the Mount, this crowd present at the trial called, "Give us Barabbas." As crowds today, we may think we are different, but let's think about some things. We enjoy the Demolition Derby, WWE wrestling, boxing, and American football. We cheer for smashing and crashing. We cheer for violence. Although a couple of the Gospels, when referring to the trial of Jesus, say it was custom or tradition to release one prisoner, many scholars disagree. The tradition of releasing a prisoner is not historically documented. We're not sure if it commonly happened, but it is not documented as tradition or practice during this period of time, according to Cunningham. So, why was Barabbas released? Is this the equivalent of the pardoning of the Thanksgiving turkey by the U.S. president each November? And why Barabbas over Jesus? Maybe the crowds weren't all that large, or maybe they were more chiefs and chief priests and leaders than plain everyday people. Or maybe the crowd knew Barabbas' kind of disruption, the disruption of rioting and violence and murder. But maybe they were unfamiliar with Jesus' expectation of disruption. Jesus was calling the people, the crowds, the chief priests, the leaders, the scribes, to a new kind of disruption. Jesus' disruption called them to go against the cultural norms of ethnicity and social status. Jesus was calling the people not to violence, but to love. Friday, I saw a bumper sticker that read, "Hate is easy. Love takes courage." How true for the crowd of thousands of years ago and for today. Blessed to me, we have the blessing of reflection. We can reflect on each of the people in our text and their steps and missteps in Jesus' death. The contemporary reading this morning, named Peter, has a way of starting our reflection. This poem shifts the focus from Peter's denial being a way of avoiding knowing Jesus to an excuse to remain close to Jesus. How does this change the narrative of Peter and Jesus and Peter's denial for you and I? As we reflect, do we keep our eyes on Jesus yet deny his teachings? For example, the teaching of the goats and sheep in which Jesus tells us when we feed the hungry and thirsty, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and visit the imprisoned, we are doing these things to him, to Jesus. That's quite a list of love and compassion. Jesus does have a way of disrupting things. His disruption changes everything within us. It changes the way we think of ourselves and the way we think of others. What if Christians at large, seem to have been so focused on seeing Jesus like Peter and their personal relationship with Jesus, they forgot to practice
his teachings. Don't let your church become a religious cushion making people comfortable who need the disruption of grace. What if Jesus' disruption is going against the cultural norms in our society of the U.S., such as our churches and food banks feeding people but not looking at the issues behind poverty? The policy of pushing away the stranger at their darkest hour of need as they try to escape violence and war. Capitalist healthcare. The convenience of plastic over the protection of the earth. Or America's original sin of racism and white privilege. What if our call of self-reflection is so deep that we must make changes in the way we live day to day? Jesus' disruption changes the expectations of ourselves, our friends, our community, our government representatives. Are we denying we know Jesus' teachings? Or calling for Barabbas because Jesus' disruption is too much to bear? I'm asking these questions of you and of me. I don't have all the answers. Upon reflection, what I know for sure is that we are called as Christians to be Christians first. We are called to follow Jesus' teachings wherever they may take us. We are called to let Jesus disrupt us. And when we fall short, we reflect, pray, and try again, so that in the end, we will cry, "Give us Jesus." Amen. We enter a time of giving, and as we enter a time of tithes and offerings or giving, we enter a time in which we reflect. I want everyone to know, if you are a first-time visitor, we do not expect a donation from you today. You are our guest. But we do have a very, very strong tradition of generosity and giving here at University Church. So with that, let us gather our tithes, our offerings, and our donations.
Please join me in the unison prayer of dedication displayed on the screen. O Holy One, we come today to claim our relationship with you. Give us strength and discipline to nurture our relationship with you, to care for every part of your creation. And to respond joyfully when you call, freely giving ourselves as you have shown the way. We open our hearts to you and your creation in the name of Jesus, who is the Christ. Amen. And remain standing, please, and join me in singing, We Are Called.
Sing of that great day when all will be one. God will reign and we'll walk with each other as sisters and brothers, united in love. We are called. We are called to love tenderly. We are called to serve one another, to walk
humbly.
My brothers and sisters, we look for Jesus. Seek him as a treasure in this great wide world. Seek him in the eyes of your loved ones. And in the eyes of the strangers, may your heart burn within you as the Lord draws you close this week. Go now in peace. Amen.